Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This is WEEI Late Night with Nick Cattles.
That emotions played too much of a part today. We just gotta do a better job of just focusing on what we can control and not worry about other things.
If I just hit or something like that, I could try to throw a bone, but as you guys know, it's, you know, we don't have any access to any of that stuff anymore. So it's kind of everyone on their own survivor.
Clearly our first shift of the game wasn't good enough. You know, we didn't manage the puck and then you're in the box. The end of the game, we got a little loose there. A few rush chances, and some of that we got to protect the middle of the ice better. But again, to me, it's puck management. We had the puck on our stick with a minute and a half to go, breaking out of our end, and you know, all of a sudden they're coming back at us.
Well, the number one seed is gone. That's not going to happen. Bruins lose earlier today in Toronto. I'm sure many of you watched this, and if you didn't watch it, you read about it, you listened to it, whatever you did, they lost 3-2 to the Tampa Bay Lightning, and that means officially they will not be the number one seed. They lost the one seed today. It is gone. Wave goodbye. Let's move on. The Bruins were bad early in this game. They were very bad. Very bad early in this game. They were also pretty bad late. Tuukka Rask tried. He tried to save their ass late in the third period. There was a stretch of like 3 or 4 minutes when the Bees were just all over the place. They were shaky, and you had Rask make a few saves to keep them in this game tied at 2. But inevitably, the shakiness got the best of them, and they lose 3-2. Bad early, bad late. First period, you know, the one thing watching the Bruins in the bubble, at least until the second period, because things changed, thankfully. But when you're watching this team through the first couple of games in the bubble in Toronto, the one thing that kind of jumps out to you is that they're coming across as soft. They were coming across as cautious. You know, they weren't physical. They weren't really bringing force to the ice. And they were letting everything almost like get after them and push them back and have them on their heels skating. So you saw that again in the first period today where there was some caution. Some might say that they were being a little bit soft. There was a bad goal given up. The puck was just lying there underneath Tuukka for like 45 minutes, it felt like, and it was finally poked into the back of the net. So you had the soft approach. They were all playing pretty cautious. They gave up a very bad goal. They had a too many men on the ice penalty, which led to another goal. It was just an ugly start. It was an ugly start where you're watching this game this afternoon and you're wondering, what happened to the Bruins? Like, where did they go? This was the best team in hockey, and they're out there looking like this, playing like this, like zero urgency to their game, like playing like they're almost worried to be out there. It was really, really strange, and got off to a terrible start. But fortunately, as I said, second period, things started to change. Things turned around a little bit. Second period, they were more physical. They did actually look like they had some urgency to their play. They played with, you know, hockey fans, hockey people love saying edge, right? Hockey players and coaches, they love saying edge. They played with some edge in that second period. They played with physicality, urgency, and edge. It was completely different when you saw the first few minutes of that second period versus what you just saw in the first 20 minutes in the first. This completely different flip-flop. I don't know if Bruce Cassidy went into the dressing room and told them the business, but there was a clear change, a contrast between the first period and the very beginning of the second period. And let's give some love to the fourth line. I know people joke about the fourth line sometimes, even going back to when they won the cup. Fourth line energy, though. Fourth line energy was once again there. Nordstrom, Corrali, and Wagner, they were all really good. Unfortunately for the Bees, the second and third lines, they've been non-existent. The second and third lines have to be better. They have to be better. When you're playing against teams that are deeper than you, then the difference on that second line and the difference on that third line is just so damn dramatic. And if you want to attain the ultimate goal, you need production across the board. Now, I don't expect the third line to be playing like the perfection line. I don't expect that. I don't even expect the third line to play like the second line. But when you're going against a deep team, Tampa, Washington, you're going against these deep teams, you need something from that second and from that third line. If you don't get anything from those two lines, it's going to be nearly impossible to win a series against those teams. By the way, third period, how about Chris Wagner? How about Wagner? I mean, this guy, he shows up in the biggest moments. He's been, for my money, he's been, you know, the best. He has been the best Bruin since they restarted. Wagner's been the best, most consistent player on the ice for them. And again, he pots a goal. And, you know, he gets results off of his effort. He gets results off of constantly skating and constantly, as I say, playing with edge and playing with urgency. So Wagner, again, terrific today. Another goal for him. How about the Barclay Goodrow hit on Anders Bjork? That was a dirty hit. That was a dirty ass hit. If you missed it, Bjork's kind of down on one knee, so he is low, but Goodrow comes over and just plants him on the side of the head. It was obvious. It was clear as day that it was a cheap shot. It was a dirty ass hit. And for some reason, unknown to me, I have no idea how in the world that penalty was a 2-minute. I have no idea how that was a 2-minute minor. That was so obvious. Yeah, Bjork was, again, the level was low, but he was down on one knee for more than enough time for Gaudreau to see that and react to it and not level Bjork on the side of the head. I thought that was a cheap hit. I thought that was a dirty hit. And I thought, no way, no how is that a 2-minute minor. Absolutely freaking ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. And I hate when guys get minors called for stuff like that. Because that just gives them more ammunition the next time. Do you think Gaudreau's gonna, you know, he's gonna hold back the next time? Oh, he really learned his lesson for those 2 minutes. He cold cocked Bjork. Just brutal. Brutal, ugly, dirty hit. 2 minutes. Get out of my face with that. The final goal of the game, the third goal for Tampa, the deciding goal, just sloppy play by the Bees. Sloppy. Brandon Carlo with a bad turnover. There was a sloppy change. You know, it looked like there were, I think, 3 Bruins at the blue line, and they none of them could get out of their own way. They're like banging into each other. It was like Keystone Cops. And then you had a rebound off of Tuca. It was a juicy rebound. Not great. Not great at all. But I can't blame Tuca on this game. I mean, again, he got off to a slow start, but you know, Tuca's not. It's not his fault that you had too many men on the ice in the first period. It's not his fault that Carlo has that turnover and you get the sloppy change. You know, it's not on Tuca for me. And I know it's the easy go-to. People just like to dump on Tuca. Every time the Bees lose, it's Tuca's fault. I don't think this was on Tuca today. I thought Tuca was good enough for the Bruins to win this game. Maybe, they did snap out of it here in the second and third period today. But the one guy that still needs to figure it out is Marshy. Brad Marchand, a very, very slow start in the bubble. A very slow start. He only has three shots on goal. Three shots on goal. He's a minus three. Marchand's got to be better. And I know Milbury got on him a little bit early on in this game. Marchand's got to be better. Because I just don't see the Bruins winning anything if that top line does not consistently put up points and put up shots on goal. You can't survive going against teams like Tampa and Washington in this Stanley Cup playoff. You can't survive if you've got Marshy playing the way he's playing. I don't think you can. You need a lot more from him. And hopefully, I don't know what you got to do. Give him some smelling salts. I have no idea what you need to do to get him going. But he's been off to a very slow start. He's got to pick it up when they get into actually postseason play. Whatever seed they are, you know, 3, 4, whatever it is. It looks like they're probably going to end up 3 or 4. But, you know, whatever seed it is, it doesn't matter if Marchand sucks. So he's got to play better. He's got to play better on the balance. And again, the second and third line have to be better. Maybe Andre Kasha will help that when he gets back, if he gets back. Hopefully that will give them a little bit more depth. And you could put him on the second or third line and he'll give them a little bit of juice. But they need something. They need something. But the good, you know, there was some good. There was some good. That second period, it's like they almost woke up. You know, Rask played well. Torrey Krug got into a fight. And, of course, you know, he's not Mike Tyson. But he was again, showing the urgency. And he was trying to make a statement by, you know, getting into that fight and making sure he's covering his own guys. So I love to see Krug get mixed up in that. The fourth line was good. Nordstrom, Corrali, Wagner, they were good. The top line's healthy. They just got to play better. Here was Bruce Cassidy after the loss.
I don't think our first period was poor, Steve, to be honest with you. You know, we put the first goal we put in our own net, kind of was going wide, went in off Charlie Skate. Second was a double deflection, so those are going to happen. I didn't think the ice was tilted heavily for them. Clearly, our first shift of the game wasn't good enough. You know, we didn't manage the puck, and then you're in the box. The end of the game, we got a little loose there. A few rush chances, and some of that we got to protect the middle of the ice better. But again, to me, it's puck management. We had the puck on our stick with a minute and a half to go, breaking out of our end, and, you know, all of a sudden they're coming back at us. So that plagued us in the first two games, and we got to clean that up.
So they got to clean it up. I thought that, again, I didn't think that they were very good in that first period. I think Cassidy is being a little nice, a little nice, maybe a little too nice. But, you know, what's the seeding? What's the seeding mean? And should we be concerned, you know, for the Bruins if they're not the one seed? Well, listening to Tuukka Rask, he's not too worried about it.
You know, I think if you want to make a run in the playoffs, you got to beat every team anyways. So, you know, the situation is what it is. And I think the worst thing's going to happen is we're going to lose the locker room and our practice rank. So that's about it. I really don't care where we finish. I think we just have to focus on our game and try to improve that coming Sunday and then going to next week. But, you know, yeah, you got to beat anybody.
It's true. I mean, you look at the bubble and you might say that Rask is being flippant, but when you look at the bubble, I mean, there's no home ice. Now, would I have loved for the Bruins to be the one seed? Sure, because that would have meant that they had momentum. They came into the bubble playing well. They had some kind of rhythm and chemistry and flow to their game. And, you know, you get the better matchup, arguably. But there's no home ice. There's no home ice. There's no crowds. There's no travel. So it's not as big of a deal this time around. But they have to be better, and they need something from their second and third line if they want to play well and have a chance to win against Tampa and Washington, because both Tampa and Washington, they're big and they are deep. All right, Paul in Westfield's been very, very, very patient. He wants to talk about LeBron. Let's go to Paul in Westfield. What's up, Paul?
Hey, Nick Cattles. How are you, bud?
Doing well, bud.
Nick, earlier in your intro, you said you don't go by the norm, and that different perspective is the difference between proactive and reactive. So it was actually Cam I wanted to bring up. I think at his age, 32 versus 22, the physical and experience and potential skill that he's shown, we couldn't luck out more. It's just protecting him and putting together the right design, which no one can do better than Bill. And with $100 million under the salary cap in this type of up and down season, we got great possible potential, like you just mentioned, the next available super defense player. So I'm kind of thinking this broke out good.
All right, Paul, thanks. Sorry about that. I had LeBron up there on the on my screen. You know, Cam, listen, his ability to use his physicality and use his legs, all well documented. I do think that Cam, after these injuries, will approach the game a little bit differently. I think you have to. And I don't think we should expect Cam to be running the football 12 to 15 times. I don't think that's a logical approach, especially now, as you mentioned, Paul, that he's now 31 going on 32, and you start getting into your mid-30s and the accumulation of hits that he's taken and how many carries he's had in his football career. I think it would be smart business to not run him nearly as much as we have seen him run, but he doesn't have to. The mere threat of him running the football, the misdirection plays in the backfield, the RPOs, things that you can do with Cam that you couldn't do with stationary quarterbacks. That's not a shot at Brady. Brady's the greatest quarterback of all time. The point is that Cam and Brady, they play different. They play different brands of football at the position. It's as simple as that. And I think they're in a good spot. I really do. You know, people are looking at this roster. They're dumping all over it. I still think they're a playoff team. And as Paul mentioned, when it comes to cap space, they're going to be sitting pretty next year. This cap is going to lose $25 to $30 million off of it. You have a lot of teams that are already up against the cap, if not over it. The New Orleans Saints, for example, their books right now, they're $75 million over the cap for next year. So you're going to have a lot of teams cutting some good talent. And you're going to have these free agents walking into the market, and the Patriots with all that cap space, with a lot of other teams with hardly any cap space, and they should be able to crush, to absolutely crush. And I just don't think the Patriots are as far off as some people think they are. Now, are they as good as they've been in the past? No. I mean, I'm not going to sit there and compare them to 07 or any of the great teams that they've had. I'm not going to do that. That would be a disservice to this team right now. But relatively speaking, when you look at the rest of the league, especially the AFC, I think they're a good enough team to get into the playoffs. And, you know, is it going to be AFC championship game? I would absolutely not pick them to beat either Baltimore or Kansas City. But stranger things have happened, and the COVID-19 thing is real. And who knows how that's going to affect it once you get going. I wouldn't write them off. I really wouldn't write them off. Again, would I bet any money with friends that they would go on a deep, deep playoff run? I wouldn't. But I do think they're better, relatively speaking, than how some people are painting this roster. We talked about Colin Cowherd last night saying that the Celtics were like a bottom, Patriots were a bottom five roster. I mean, give me a break. Give me a freaking break with that. They're not a bottom five roster. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. The text line is 37937. Again, you can follow me on Twitter at Nick C Radio. What did LeBron James say that infuriated me this week? Find out next on Sports Radio WEEI's Late Night with Nick Cat.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Boston sports never rests. This is Late Night on Sports Radio WEEI.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James with the rejection.
Wow.
I love that.
Wow.
Really, on that play, there was not much more than you could say than just wow. All right, so LeBron James. You know, there was this strange faction. I don't want to say strange. Strike that. That's not fair. Not strange. But there is a faction of NBA fans out there that is, as soon as you talk about LeBron James, and if you criticize anything about LeBron, they lose their ever-loving minds. They go nuts. They lose it. Like, you can't say anything about LeBron. Then you've got the people who just crap on LeBron all the time, and I think some of that is because they just want to try to get the best of the faction that I just brought up. I try to be objective and fair to LeBron. On the floor, listen, he's one of the greatest players of all time. There's no denying that. If you deny that, you're the quote-unquote hater. You're just criticizing the criticize. You know, there's no doubt that the dude is great. He'll go down as one of the best 5-6 players in NBA history. But that doesn't mean he doesn't do things that make me angry. It doesn't mean that he doesn't frustrate me, that he doesn't infuriate me, that he doesn't irritate me. And he did something that bothered me earlier this week. So I just feel like I've got to get this off my chest. And we're getting towards the end of the show tonight. There's no better time than to kind of blow up than right now, to get my energy and juices flowing so I can't fall asleep until about 4 a.m.
Got the dump button ready in case you get too passionate.
Get that dump button ready, my friend. So the Lakers, obviously, they took the number one seed earlier this week. They won it. Congratulations to them. Golf clap. Yay. Good job, Lakers. You won, the seeding round. You are now the number one seed in the Western Conference. You had pretty much an insurmountable lead. So congratulations on that. But here's why LeBron irritated me, okay? And he has irritated me many times before. It's not just this time around. And usually it's not so much on the floor, even though his histrionics at times and running down the floor and arguing a call and those kinds of things, those things will bother me. Those things will get under my skin. But there's also the fact that on social media for a long time, especially when he was in Miami and went back to Cleveland, you know, social media, he likes to throw his teammates under the bus. At least he liked to. He liked to throw his coaches under the bus. You know, and you're looking at the social media posts from time to time with him where he's passive aggressively trying to get his point across to his teammates. It's just ridiculous. Like, go behind closed doors, bro. Talk to your teammates and tell them what your issue is and move on, right? Be adults. Be adults. Don't be sending the passive aggressive tweets and IG posts out there. There's just no room for it. I can't stand the fact that he puts bullets in head coaches' heads and then pretty much runs away from it. And that LeBron James wall of defense that comes up from that faction of fans that I was talking about just a few moments ago, you know, the wall is built up in front of LeBron, and they try to say, oh, well, he didn't get the head coach fired. He didn't walk in and tell the GM to fire the coach. Come on, will you stop it? Will you stop that? We all know what's going on. We all know. We all know he wanted Ty Lue in Cleveland, and it somehow happened. So, you know, there are things that bug me. And one more thing that bugs me about LeBron is that at times, he is very self-congratulatory. He likes to take victory laps, even if he didn't win the title just yet. And he was speaking to the LA Times this week, right after the Lakers took the number one seed. And he says to the LA Times, since 2010, right? And he's talking about this season being the first time in 10 years that the Lakers will end the season as the West's top seed. So he says to the LA Times, since 2010, right? They said I couldn't do it. I'll enjoy this one. They said I can't do it. I can just say it feels damn good to be the number one seed in the West, for me personally. Now, that is just three simple quotes. He said I or me at least five times. I, me, me, me. And this has been a problem in the past with LeBron.
You can never question that about me.
Yeah, don't ever question that about me. Me, 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 me. I. And so you read that, and this is why it bothers me. Sports Radio WEEI Late Night here with Nick Cattles. This is why it bothers me. I'm glad that LeBron did it all by himself. Congratulations, LeBron, for you. I didn't know that the LeBron Jameses were the number one seed in the Western Conference. I thought it was the LA Lakers. And silly me, I thought I saw Anthony Davis go for what, like 42-12 the other night to clinch the number one seed? Davis has been playing like a possessed beast since they've been back in the bubble. Anthony Davis is a top five player in the league when he's healthy. He's a top five guy. So when LeBron comes out in the postgame, and he's talking to the LA Times, and he says, oh, you know, I'm going to enjoy this one. They said I couldn't do it. They said I can't do it. I can just say it feels damn good to be the number one seed in the West for me personally. Like, your team just took the number one seed. Davis just played out of his mind. How about just talking about them? And I know in the post game, he likely said, you know, we, and he congratulated his teammates, and he talked about social justice, and I'll give some of the context for sure. I'm sure he gave some of his teammates some love and all of that. But on the night when you clinch the number one seed, it shouldn't be I, me, me, me at any point. It shouldn't be that at the podium. It shouldn't be that in the hallway. It shouldn't be that in the bathroom stall. It shouldn't be that in the showers. It shouldn't be that when you go to the hotel room. It's not I, me, me, me. Like, you didn't do this all by yourself, LeBron. If Davis didn't go to the Lakers, do you think the Lakers are the number one seed? No. He should be thanking Anthony Davis. He should be thanking, like, you know, his the rest of his roster. He should be thanking his agent, Rich Paul.
I'm aware of everything.
Who pulled the strings to help bring Davis to L.A. I mean, if the Celtics traded for Davis back last year, we're not even talking about this right now. But LeBron, at the end of the game, he made it about himself. After the game was over, he's talking to the L.A. Times, and he might have said, you know, he might have said mostly the right things publicly. But then as soon as he has this alone moment in the hallway with a writer of the LA Times, it's I, me, me, me. The other thing that bothers me about this with what LeBron said, it's a straw man's argument. You know, who doubted the Lakers this year? The Lakers were always, from the very beginning, when they tipped off back in what, October? You go back all the way. You go back 10 months ago in the Lakers, 10 months ago, up until this very moment, they have always been one of the favorites. Yes, some people like the Clippers better. I do. I think the Clippers are a better basketball team when they're playing their best and they're healthy. I think they're deeper. I think they're better. But nobody wrote the Lakers off. You know, so here's LeBron sitting there saying, oh, yeah, they said I couldn't do it. They said I can't do it. When Anthony Davis was acquired by the Lakers, what was the national media talking about? What was the narrative? The Lakers immediately were seen as one of the teams sitting at the table. And in the NBA, honestly, you only have like four or five teams that are sitting at that table. And the Lakers were sitting at that table. So enough is enough with the they wrote us off. Earlier in the year, Anthony Davis and, you know, and James, they're sitting there in the locker room saying, oh, they thought LeBron was washed. They thought LeBron, who said LeBron was washed? Who said LeBron was going to stink? Who said that? Nobody said that. I didn't see one person in the media say that LeBron was done, that he was washed. Now, last year, he might not have been the best player in the NBA. God forbid, gasp. But he wasn't washed. It's like this straw man argument, this false premise that he's rolling with. Like, am I supposed to have pity for you, LeBron? Like, I'm supposed to feel bad for you? And I know that the all-time greats, they're petty. And I know the all-time greats, they get motivated by everything. I understand that. I do. But come on, man. Like, this is a bit weak. This is a bit weak. Nobody wrote you off. Nobody wrote your team off. Nobody said that you couldn't do it. Now, when you were staying in the East, sure, some people were wondering whether or not you'd be able to go to the West and win a championship. And by the way, you haven't won a championship yet. So I don't know if I would be throwing a parade for getting the one seed. But, you know, 10 years ago, LeBron, people were saying this 10 years ago, 6 years ago, 5 years ago. Okay, great. You know, did I miss it? Did LeBron win a championship in the Western Conference the past decade? Did I miss that somehow, some way? He's been in the West for 2 years. Last year, the Lakers were bad. So, you know, relax. Relax a little bit. It irritates me, man. It's so frustrating. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. The text line is 37937. You can follow me on Twitter. You can send me all the hate tweets you want at Nick C Radio. Again, it's at Nick C Radio. Up next, a clean night in Tampa. You're listening to Late Night on Sports Radio WEEI with Nick Cattles. Me.
Take my talents to South Beach.
I.
I've been to 6 straight finals.
I.
I love being uncomfortable.
Me.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Because sleep is for losers. This is Late Night on Sports Radio WEEI.
Wrapping up on this Wednesday night, right where we started, Red Sox. Nice win by them tonight. 5-0 down in Tampa against the Rays. Martin Perez with the win. And listen, he wasn't incredible. He wasn't striking guys out by, you know, the dozen, but he got through. And I know that might sound like a backhanded compliment, but honestly, with this pitching staff, you know, Perez, his last two times out, he's been good enough. And you got Evaldi, who's pitched pretty well. It went off the rails a little bit last night. But, I mean, overall, he's pitched well. You've got Evaldi and you've got Perez. At least you've got two guys in this rotation that you feel give you a chance. They give you a chance to win the game. So Perez, he was pretty good. He escaped a lot tonight. The fourth inning was a little scary. He got a line out to right field. There was a foul ball that just went foul. That would have been a big home run for Tampa. So he escaped the fourth inning. He had some control issues from time to time. He walked three guys. But he had his changeup tonight. The changeup was pretty good. Watching him, he throws the changeup whenever he wants. I mean, it could be a 3-2 count. He can throw a change. It could be a 3-1 count. He can throw a change. It could be 2-0. He's going to throw the change. So I thought Perez was good enough tonight. You don't expect him to go out there and look like Chris Sale. So, you know, he pitched well enough tonight. Another thing that was good to see is Xander Bogaerts. Bogaerts, over the last four or five games, it looks like he's finally, you know, figuring some things out at the plate. He was 2-for-4 tonight with a double. He scored a run. The double was just, I mean, you want to talk about effortless power. I heard Dennis Eckersley, I heard X say that during the game. Effortless power, it was. You go back and you watch that double off the wall from Xander. That dude has effortless power. It did not look like that was going to be a wall ball, and yet there it was. So it's nice to see Xander get going. Michael Chavis hit a bomb tonight, and you know he doesn't get robbed on most of his home runs. He's not getting robbed on those. They're bombs. He was 3-for-4 tonight. That was really nice. I like Verdugo. You know, sometimes you just watch guys and they come across as natural athletes and natural ball players. I get that feel when I watch Verdugo. He's just a natural ball player. He hit home run tonight to right field. So Chavis, Verdugo, Bogaerts, those guys were the offensive, the offensive stars. Vasquez got another hit or two tonight. He's been really good at the dish. I thought Tampa left their guy Yarbrough out to dry. I don't know why he was still out there in the sixth inning, and they allowed him to give up that home run to Chavis, which made it 5-0, and that was, you know, for all intents and purposes, the death knell. I don't know why Yarbrough was still out there. And let's give Captain Ron some credit. Yeah, I've been all over Captain Ron Renicky. Captain Ron sat both Andrew Benintendi and JBJ tonight. So I'm going to be fair. And I'm going to give credit where credit is due. Congratulations to Captain Ron for sitting Benintendi, who has royally sucked this year, and JBJ, who has been through one of those JBJ cold streaks that we've seen him have. Brandon Workman got some work. That was nice to see. Was not a fan of the leadoff walk. You know, I would not have thrown the curveball as much the first hitter in a 5-run game in the ninth inning, but that's just me. But, hey, beggars can't be choosers, right? Red Sox with a win, 5-0 in Tampa. Celtics blow out the Nets. Unfortunately, the Bruins lose to Tampa today in Toronto, 3-2. They no longer have a shot at the one seed. Thanks to my guy Dylan Mitchell producing this program. Thanks to all the listeners. I appreciate each and every one of you, especially those who are hating me on Twitter and the text line. And, hey, there have been some nice things said to me on the text line, so I appreciate that as well. It's been great on this Wednesday night. Everybody enjoy the rest of your week. I'll be on Saturday morning with Andy Hart, 9 a.m. till 1 p.m. Until then, it's Sports Radio WEEI with Nick Cattle.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.